Let's go to Isaiah 45. Cyrus is, this is the what's called the charge to Cyrus in terms of the chapter. And Cyrus was a Persian king that, he's the one that ordered the rebuilding of the temple. And he's became a type of Christ in the Old Testament. He's the one that ordered that all of the artifacts from the temple that had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar would be returned to the temple, all of the serving vessels and all of the ornaments, etc. Then he ordered the rebuilding of the temple.
Was he related to Esther, like Esther's son or something?
No. It really bothered the Jews that he was accorded this much acclaim because he wasn't a Jew. He was a friend of the Jews, but they had, you know, over the years they had a lot of friends. But this guy, not only even the Jews see him as a type of Messiah. Well, let's just go to verse 20. Read the whole chapter on you. We'll never get where I want to go if we do, but I start in the beginning. Start verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell me, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Now, remember, this is the same chapter that we've had so much trouble with over the years, because in verse 5, go over there a minute. I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Sometime about this same time, there's the Persian influence infected the Jews. And they started believing in this idea of this war between good and evil. And Satan then became accorded in almost a position that was equal to and sometimes superior to God. Now, if you think about it, just think of what's happened. That same infection of the idea of a war in heaven between Satan and God is permeates the modern church. And that's sad, because they miss the mystery. Listen again. There is none beside me. I form light, I create darkness, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And then he repeats it here in verse 21. We just read it. Have not I, the Lord, tell ye and bring them near, ye that take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord, and there is no God beside me, a just and Savior? There is none else beside me. So we're not dealing with two gods. We're not kneeling. We're not. You're never battling good and evil. And that, yet, that's the mindset that happens for most of you when something happens that you don't like or you think is wrong or you're doing something, and you start going into battle, and what you resist, you empower. And some of you know a great deal about that. Because everything in you says to resist it is the way I stop it, or the way I don't do it anymore, or whatever the it is. Right? All right. I said a lot to say this. Now, this next verse, in some people's mind, is the most important verse of the Bible. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. That's all that's necessary. Look unto me and be saved. A child can look unto him. Doesn't require any intelligence. A blind person can look unto him. An idiot can look unto him. You know, a lot of people, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Well, what does that mean? We know because we studied it a million times. But I'm not sure that some of you really know that, because you're still struggling with things that you should have let go a million years ago. Look unto the Lord and be saved. And that never stops. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. There's nothing else to do. You don't have to learn all the esoteric ins and outs of the scriptures. You don't have to learn all the types and parables. There's only one thing. So you look unto him and be saved. The author and finisher of faith. But the problem is we're too important to look unto him. It's too small for our great minds. And that's sad. Can anybody tell me what that means? Look unto Jesus and be all ye ends of the earth and be saved. It takes no effort to look.
What I think of is that all things have been placed under his feet, but we see not yet all things, but we see Jesus. That's what comes to mind.
But what is that good? Does that do a sinner that's all totally and completely befuddled in his own doubt and fears?
Well, what it says to me is you really can't look at two things at the same time. You can only focus on one thing. And if you see God as all and in all, then I mean, you can't look upon yourself or have.
Has anybody ever read anything about Charles Spurgeon? He was one of the great evangelists of the 18th century. 19th century. I get centuries confused. Huh? 1800.
Yeah.
Huh?
His sermons are published.
Yeah, a lot of Spurgeon.
Spurgeon was an educated man, very bright. But he'd been plagued since his childhood by self-doubt. And he'd been going to church all his life, and he said probably no one ever prayed more than he did, because he couldn't ever seem to get rid of his own self-doubt and his own understanding in him that he was. You know, he knew that it wasn't that sin wasn't what he did. Sin was what he was. And so people would, huh? Oh, I thought you said something. You know, he would go to all these meetings. He went to church after church after church after church. He went, and he knew, and I guess because of his family, he knew some of the brightest people in England that were religious scholars, and he'd go to them and talk with them. And finally, he went. It was a terrible. He was going to this place where Dr. Drummond, or whatever his name was speaking. It was not too far from where he lived, and he was walking, and a snowstorm came. And so he was forced into gaining shelter, and there was this little dinky church that didn't have, it was only 10 or 12 people in the church. It wasn't even a church, it was just a group like us. And there was this really ignorant guy that in his mind he was making fun of him because he couldn't pronounce the words right, and he wasn't very articulate. And since it was such a small group of people, obviously when the stranger walked in, and he was talking, he had no oratorical skills, didn't have the right timbre or tone of his voice, everything was wrong. And he gave a sermon, and his sermon was this: look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, or look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. And he said, look unto me as I'm sweating drops of blood in the garden. Look unto me as I'm hanging on the tree, bleeding and dying. Look unto me as I'm being, before that, as I'm being scourged by the authorities, until the whites of the bones of his back and rib cage show. Look unto me when you can't see me in the grave. Look unto me as I am resurrected and walking among you. Look unto me as I ascend to the Father. He said, God doesn't do you any good when you're in that position. That comes later. Holy Spirit doesn't do you any good. That too comes later. And he looked and he saw this Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon's countenance, and he saw that he was, and he shouted at him. He said, you, look unto Jesus. And Spurgeon's life was turned inside out at that minute. Many times people have told me they'd believe this doctrine if I were a hunchback cripple. Well, now I'm a hunchback cripple. They still don't believe. Look unto me as I declare unto you it is finished. Look unto me as I tell you your warfare is over. Look unto me as I declare to you that you need nothing but what I'm freely able to give you and will give you. Forget all of the theology. Forget all the problems. Forget all anything about whether or not this or that is true. Just look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. He's first the author, and then he's the finisher. He's the Omega, the Alpha and the Omega. And that happened to me. I mean, with me, the key was not the phrase looking unto him. It was, you were born to be a failure. And I was not a failure in not many people's eyes. I was a big success. But I knew I was a failure. Now, for each of you, it's different. But there's a fundamental thing that happens. I was never again the same. I was transformed, not to perfection, but I was taken off this kingdom, away from this kingdom of darkness, and brought into a kingdom of light in an instant, as was Spurgeon was. But in Spurgeon's case, he knew the depth of his own sin, and in my case, I knew the depth of my own boredom and my own, and that there was nothing in the universe that could help me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. There is nothing else. And you never stop looking at him. And he will take you to that place where he is seated. And the more intently you look unto him, the quicker that you will be there, seated on under the mercy seat, on the wings, under the wings of the cherubim, on the mercy seat. But until that happens, you're just watching something else happen. You can't be done with arguments or discussions. It can only come from your own desperation. Look unto me, all you ends of the earth, and you shall be saved. That's enough. Any response?
Keep the scripture. He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stayed on thee.
Amen. Gary?
I was thinking about this part, either just God and the Savior.
I didn't hear you.
He's a just God and the Savior.
That's why you have to die.
Yeah, it's not just the Savior. He's a just God. So it's like, when you first were talking, I was thinking the look unto me is you're usually crying out when you look unto him. But that's not the only time you're looking. You look unto him all the time. He's a just God. And if he be the Savior, if he be the just God, like he encompasses everything about you, not just when you're desperate and need to be saved.
Think on these things and look unto him, the author and finisher of faith. Anybody else? Don't be confused. Don't let anything confuse you from the simplicity of that. Don't let your mind play all these little games. Santa, any thoughts?
Just think about how big God is. that we can even look unto him.
Okay. Alrighty, take a big guy.
Why all we need a bowl of syrup, I'll be ready to go.
Harry.